Good morning. Just for the next few minutes, just pretend that your sermon is being delivered by Batman. Maybe even Optimus Prime. It is my tribute to Barry White today, and I apologize greatly. Pray that we get through this today. It will be shorter, but sometimes it happens, doesn't it? I know. I did this once before in Houston, and people had these big eyes. What? Okay. Let's pray this morning, and we will hear God speak. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together today. Lord, do not let any barriers get in the way of your word today, whether it be my voice, whether it be things that have happened to us this past week. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear, help us to listen intently, because what you have to say is it's vital and crucial. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I do apologize. I'll try to get this. If you want to turn down the bass and up the treble, that may help a little bit. Today we finish our conversation on what it means to be together. And I tell you, this has been a very good series for me. It's been challenging. And I've had some people ask me, this series has seemed like it's been all about us. It's been very self-serving. And I would have to say, well, yes, you're right. It has been all about us. Because I tell you, what we do here together matters. The actions that come out of this place, out of our families, out of here, it has consequences. I tell my kids this. I say, you know, your actions have consequences. They're either good or they're bad. But every action has a consequence. The care, the concern, the love we show each other here has consequences. It matters. So the us I've been talking about is quite important. We are important here. Don't devalue yourself. You are important to this place, to this family. Jesus has called us to take the message to the world. He says this in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He's chosen us to take his message, to share it. He's not just calling us to share information. He's asking us to share something much more than that. He's asking us to share forgiveness, redemption, salvation, a way out of the mess we have created for ourselves. And you see, this message is not bound by nationality or language. The message of the gospel is global. It's in our hearts. It's on our lips. It's in our hands. It's in our embrace. The message we get to share is a matter of life and death. But how we reach the world with this message, how we do it, begins with how we live it out together. I've said it before, if we're not living it out here, then how in the world can we live it out there? In the last days of Jesus' life, he took a moment to pray for his disciples. I love this. It's one of my favorite passages. John chapter 17. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John 17. By the way, kids, how many of you have your Bibles? Can you raise them up? Kids, raise up your Bibles for me. Awesome, 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 awesome. Okay, parents, I will do the same thing for you next week, so get ready. Okay? There you go. Thank you, Xenia. All right, good. I have to prep the parents, kids. This is what he says in John 17. Let's start in chapter 1. He says this. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Remember that description. Then he goes on in verse 20. Read verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is key here. If we hope to be a people who get to share the message of the gospel with others, we need to ask ourselves if we are really one in that message. Have we experienced this kind of unity? Well, we would if those irritating people would leave. We'd be unified if everybody started worshiping correctly. We'd be unified if everyone stopped disagreeing with me. I've heard and said those things. How are people going to know Jesus Christ and God who sent him unless we introduce them to him, unless we show them who he is? And it says it right there in Scripture. Did you know that if we are one, if we are unified, then people will know that Jesus is who he says he is. If we are one, when people see our unity, they will understand that this fellowship, this partnership that we have, is not just another Sunday morning option, but it is a life. It's a fellowship of different people who share the message of gospel. In fact, we don't just share it, we actually live it out. And I see that here every week, every day, in several of you. But I know it's not easy. Sometimes it's as hard as me trying to hit a high note at the moment. You just can't quite do it. But I tell you, you're not alone. Paul tried to encourage a small church in Philippi, his very first congregation, sweet congregation in Philippi that he started. And he encouraged them to be unified. You know, Philippi is interesting because it's a retired military town. It's pretty obscure. You know, I don't know how many people would have traveled to Philippi necessarily. It was a Roman city, but this one group of people, they knew what it meant to obey orders. They knew what it meant to train, to practice, to become better, to be unified with their unit. But they also knew what it meant to fight. They were very good at fighting. And this is what he said to them. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 12. He says this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. What does it mean to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? There's much about eternity that we do not know. There's also a side to God that is a bit frightening, isn't there? That power, that immenseness. It's all quite intimidating to me at times. I mean, really, think about it. A being who could redeem me and my sin, who could wipe it all away, help me to start all over, to be brand new, clean, pure. Wow. Talk about power. But the more I read, the more I pay attention about what it means to work it out, the more I realize there's a social aspect to it as well. It's not merely me working it out. What does it say right there? 13. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And as we read on, we realize we're working this out together. Together. Things are not perfect in this Philippian church. Far from it. So what does Paul tell them? He says, do everything without grumbling. Let's just start there. Could we do that here for a month? A day? Arguing. He says, do this without grumbling or arguing. He says, be one as Jesus and his Father are one. Going back a little bit in chapter 1, verse 27, he encourages us to strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. And a bit later, he says, be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. When we work at our salvation together, we become pure and blameless, without fault. When we work at it, our salvation together, we will shine. We will shine. And when something shines, it draws attention. Why do you think the whole engagement ring moment is so important? When it shines, wow. I think so many times in churches across the country, we try to attract people with programs, productions, and what we can offer them. Why not focus on being one together? Why not focus on showing people the gospel? Let them see what it looks like in the best and in the worst of times. So the questions I have to myself, what do we look like here when we disagree? What do we look like when we laugh together, when we cry together? What does it look like when we support each other and when we don't? What does it look like when we grumble, when we argue? I think the reason some people don't go to church or they don't think they need to be involved in the body of Christ is that the only Jesus they've ever really experienced has been selfish, conflicted, arrogant, and condemning. I've seen that Jesus in several places. I think I've been that Jesus at times. It's hard to say, isn't it? But I tell you, when we are together, when we are of one mind and unified, we are beautiful. We shine like stars in the universe. In those beautiful moments, we can lift up our voices with unison, and not just with people here, but with people, brothers and sisters beside us, in the community around us, across the street, in distant countries. We can know that each time we gather, our unity, our oneness spans the globe. Imagine the body of Christ alive and well in the midst of every country. In the world, every country, free or oppressed, we are one with the body of Christ in a small underground church in China. We are one with the body of Christ in a small village outside of inside of Uganda. In secret meetings held in the prisons of Iran, because they're there. The body of Christ is there. In the burnout villages of war-torn Ukraine, We are one with our brothers and sisters, not because of our programs or because of our wealth or because of what our building looks like. We are one. We are one because we know what it means to love. We know what it means to love, even when people don't love us back, when they don't love us in return. We know that love is what happens when we are one in spirit and in purpose. When we are one as Jesus and his Father are one. And love is not merely a suggestion. It is a command. Look what it says in John 13. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I tell you, I see love exuding from this place. I see it whenever you help our friends in Ukraine. I see it whenever you help our friends in Nicaragua. I see it when you help people all across this community. I see it in individuals who are doing things that if you knew, you would be amazed at how much they love God because they're serving people. I tell you, I see it through this place. So does the church matter? Yes. Why? Love. Love is what makes us matter. It's not about the show. It's not about the programs. It's not about the orderliness or propriety or about getting the elements correct or in order. It's about love, period. Loving the ones who think that they can have worship without fellowship. It's about loving the ones who want orderliness without helping people get their lives in order. It's about loving those people who reject, but somehow feeling they should never be rejected. It's about loving everyone with the love that God has shown you. See, church matters because it is the body of Christ in the world. And within this body, there is peace, there is strength, there is comfort and purpose. But I tell you, love works through these descriptors and it seeks to offer something more. It offers change and growth and holy transformation. Love changes us, makes us look a lot more like Jesus. It shows and it teaches a better way to live and to communicate and to worship. For worship cannot be holy unless it is wrapped in layers of love, selflessness, and sacrifice. I tell you, church matters when those inside of it are committed to being with each other and for each other. Otherwise, we're simply another organization hoping to grow by the merits of our own intrinsic quality and capability. But when we love, we begin to matter. I think those churches that are more concerned with issues than they are with people do not matter to anyone else outside their own doors. But I tell you, churches who love each other, they begin to be noticed. They become bigger. Maybe not in numbers, but their hearts grow. Their actions grow. Their service grows. Their capability, it grows. And it becomes more visible. It begins to shine. Church doesn't matter when the production value increases. Church shines like the stars in the sky when the value of love increases. So my encouragement today is to be one as Jesus and God were one. Work out your salvation. Work it out alone. Work it out in community. Work it out together. And let us show the world. Let us show each other why our faith matters. Because it does. Let us show them through our very lives, through our actions, through our love, the very life of Jesus Christ. And let us show the world who Jesus is by loving one another here and across the globe. And let's show them this love together. Love you, church. I encourage you. Be blessed. Let's close in prayer and then we will have a song. Our God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for speaking. I pray that you would help us to listen, help us to love, even those people who don't love us back. Teach us what it means to be one with one another as you and your Father were one. Because I know you want to do even more wonderful things through this church family. I pray that you would help us to be open to it without grumbling or arguing, but with open and sincere hearts. We love you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.